The Justice Department this week marks a milestone in its effort to crack down on white-collar criminals. It's been 2 years since the Corporate Fraud Task Force was organized. Prosecutors have brought charges against more than 900 people, including some 60 company presidents and CEOs. Many get prison terms ranging from months, as did Martha Stewart, to decades. And that disparity has led to a debate over white-collar penalties, as NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
Martha Stewart was upbeat but defiant after her sentencing in New York last week. She suggested the prosecution, which led to 4 criminal convictions against her, was a massive case of overkill.
What was a small personal matter became, over the last 2 years, an almost fatal circus event of unprecedented proportions.
Stewart's relatively light sentence is in sharp contrast to that handed Jamie Olas, a former vice president and tax planner at Dynegy, who was found guilty of helping the energy company cook its corporate books. Martha Stewart got 5 months prison time plus 5 months house arrest. Jamie Olas was sentenced to more than 24 years. Columbia Law professor John Coffey says the main reason for Olas's stiff penalty was tough new sentencing guidelines adopted in the wake of recent corporate scandals.
Congress tends to respond to almost every scandal with a get-tough approach, and they instructed the U.S. Sentencing Commission to increase the guideline ranges for white-collar offenders.
The Sentencing Commission sharply increased the recommended prison time for white-collar crooks who cause big losses for investors. In practice, those losses are often calculated as simply the drop in a company's stock price. Former federal prosecutor Kirby Barra, who co-wrote a book on sentencing, warns even a small fraud at a public company can trigger a lengthy prison term.
The pendulum has swung, and we're now getting these ridiculously long sentences that have no apparent connection to the gravity of the offense. Putting a first-time offender, mid-level manager, in jail for 24 years doesn't seem to be in anybody's best interest, and as a taxpayer, I don't think I want to fund that incarceration.
Dynegy's Olas also paid a heavy price because, like Martha Stewart, he refused to plead guilty and gambled on a trial. 2 of his co-workers who did strike guilty pleas face much lighter sentences of just 5 years each. Deputy Attorney General James Comey, who heads the Corporate Fraud Task Force, defends stiff penalties like Olas's. He says they send a strong deterrent message to would-be corporate crooks.
Those who focus on how high that sentence is, I think, don't realize we hand out sentences like that every day to 19-year-old drug dealers or convicted felons with guns. It's just striking because it hasn't happened in a long time to an educated white-collar professional.
The updated sentencing guidelines might lead to more long prison terms for corporate criminals, but last month the Supreme Court ruled that judges cannot consider sentencing factors like financial losses unless they're first proven to a jury. Professor Coffey says with that ruling, the High Court has put the future of tough white-collar penalties in doubt.
They definitely have thrown a monkey wrench into the works, and the process of implementing sentencing guidelines has been brought to a screeching halt.
The Justice Department hopes to get clarification from the Supreme Court. In the meantime, prosecutors may try to prove factors like financial losses in upcoming cases against former Enron executives Jeffrey Skilling and Ken Lay. Even if the sentencing guidelines are eventually struck down, Coffey says that won't necessarily mean lighter sentences. A judge with more discretion could have sentenced Martha Stewart to no jail time or to as much as 20 years. Scott Horsley, NPR News.